Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and get the handouts notes there. We're going to look for the next three Sundays. We're going to take a look at, it's called A Look at Suffering, a series called A Look at Suffering. And so as you're getting your notes there, I'd like to ask you to repeat the title of the message today. The title of the message today is Suffering is Not an Option. Suffering is not an option. Everybody with me? I'm kind of like the guy that hates to suffer in any way. How about you? Are you into suffering or you know, I opt out. I would not prefer not to. My flesh prefers to be comforted. How about you? I could probably ask you, what's your favorite comfort food? And you could start talking all kinds of. So when I'm hurting, I want it to be over quickly. I like it to go by fast, and I really appreciate people like the Navy SEALs who, when they're tested with great suffering mentally, physically, emotionally, they go through this endurance training and then they, I think quite a few people going through Navy SEAL training do quit. It's kind of a rough thing. Let me ask you just again, how many volunteers for suffering? Let me see your hands. How many want to go suffer? See, it's just not something we all get into, is it? Well, if you and I suffer without hope of something good coming, then I believe we become hopeless rather quickly. We desire something good to come out of the bad that we go through. And here's a reality of life on earth. You and I will encounter suffering in some way or another. Something will happen that causes you pain in an overwhelming way. And some people manage that pain better than others. And knowing that suffering is a part of life, there's an Indian tribe, I think it's up in Upper Canada, I believe it is. And they know that the harsh climate up there, what they do in a very loving and caring way to toughen up their children, they'll take a toddler, I don't think it's a baby really, but maybe a little toddler, and they go out to make them tough, and they dip them down in the frigid ice water and pull them up. And then they comfort them and they just want them to be tough. They want to say, hey, I don't want you to be so weak and you're shocked when this happens to you, so we're going to let you know in a safe way now that life is tough. Have you seen those videos where in the Russians, when they get baptized, they go out and they chop a hole in the ice? And they baptize them, and they baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they go down the ice and bring them back out. That's kind of doing the same thing in the kingdom of God, saying you're going to have some tough times ahead. Getting to know that there could be a shock. See, what's really gone off the rails in the United States of America in the Christian realm is that people say, it's all going to be so wonderful. Everything's going to be so peaceful and so kind. God is so good and everything's going to be sweet. You're going to be on a cloud nine. You're going to be so blessed. You're going to make all kinds of money. You're just going to be blessed. Everybody's going to be completely healthy all the time. And then when that doesn't happen, people get offended with God and say, how could you ever, how come you didn't, how come you, and get really upset and angry at God and spend the next 50 years in the wilderness because nobody told them, suffering is a part of the gig. I'm not getting one amen, I tell you this. I probably got everybody going, oh my, why did I come today? I could have done without this. I wish I'd have set my clock wrong, you know. Look at the top of your notes there. There's a definition for the Bible term, suffering. And I have both A and B there. Patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, especially as shown in bearing troubles and ills. And then the second one, patience, forbearance, long-suffering, slowness in avenging wrongs. Isn't that something? Isn't that character? Let's go ahead and look at the first fill in the blank. Suffering is universal. Suffering is universal. Everyone will suffer in some way at some time in their life. And how you handle the suffering depends on the development of your character. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. Isn't that right? So then I want to say part of the suffering that's universal comes because there's evil in the world. Let's go ahead and look at this. There's evil in the world, and sometimes there's about three categories of evil. There's natural evil, which is hurricanes, etc. There's malicious evil, which is sexual assault, somebody doing something bad. And then there's accidental evil, which is like a bridge collapse. Jesus addressed two of these. In Luke 13, 1 through 5, it says, this is malicious evil. They said, there were some present at the very time who told them about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered, see, here's what happened. Pilate came down to where some Jews were doing some sacrifices, and he slaughtered them. And those people were killed. Their own blood was mingled with the sacrifices. This is how they're saying that somebody, you know, the governmental guy came in and killed some people. And this is Jesus' response to them. They're asking about this malicious evil. He said, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? He said, no. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Wow. So there's malicious things that happen. How many of you found that I can't always answer. There's good things that happen to people that you wonder why, because they're so bad. And there's bad things that happen to people, you wonder why, because they're so good. You can't figure it out. Sometimes the Bible says the rain rains on the just and the unjust. There's just things that come our way. There's tough things that happen. The next verse is about the accidental evil. It says, or these 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? He said, no. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So Jesus is saying, look, there is a way out of this, and it's coming to the Lord and giving your life to Him. Or he's really dealing with another realm of perishing, because when you do not know the Lord and you don't give your life to Him, when you die, you're hopeless forever. There's an eternal perishing. But when you repent and turn to Him, He's with you through all the situations of life. How many of you had some times where you just know something could have happened that didn't because of the Lord? I have several of those where He's like, delivered me from something. I had just one of them. I'm always amazed at this one, because I was driving my car when living in Los Angeles, and suddenly on a side road next to the interstate, this big truck pulls right out in front of me. And I'm not kidding. I feel these hands come on top of my hands, and I don't see anybody, but I feel these hands coming down on, and they're holding my, and the next thing I know, I went like this. And I looked in the rearview mirror, and the truck was behind me. I don't know how it happened. But I know Daddy God said, maybe like my angel said, hey, help him out here. And, you know, and it didn't happen. But there are horrible things that happen to people. People go through all kinds of trials in this group right here. People going through tough, tough things. There's a natural evil as well. I want to just say that Genesis 3:17, part of the curse, it said, cursed is the ground because of you. And so there's this idea about that. I don't want to go off too much on this, but let me just mention, I don't have the verse up there for us to look at, but in Romans chapter 8, verse 19, it says, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it. That means Adam, who fell, put the whole planet under the curse. And so we have a planet that's struggling. And it says, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. And then look at this. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. There's a groaning in the earth because of the wickedness on the planet. Can you imagine? Now, I know that there's a tone. If you have one of those little tuning forks, the earth has a tone, and it's actually where we tune our guitars off. It's A. That's the frequency. The earth has a frequency. I don't know if it's a moan, but there's rough stuff going on. And if you notice over the past few years, there's more earthquakes going on. There's all kinds of hurricanes. There's all kinds of, it's increasing, right? It's increasing. What else is increasing? The sin of man is increasing. The sin of man is increasing so much that the earth is, dear God, because we're not made for this. We're used to paradise. We're not made to this curse and all this falling and stuff. It says the earth itself is groaning and travailing. So that's the kind of the universal idea that you have these, everybody's subject to different things. But it involves the planet too. But let's go to number two. Suffering is personal. And there can be a loss of health, a loss of means, a loss of a loved one. Suffering is personal. I remember being on my, years ago, I was riding on my bicycle with my cousin. We were on it together. And it was in Blacksburg, Virginia. And we were on this real tall hill, and he wanted me to go up there with him. And we're both on the bicycle, and he's sitting in front of me because he's smaller than me. And he's got his feet on the pedals on top of my feet. And so we're going along here, and we've picked up quite a bit of speed. It's like, oh, my God, we're flying. And then I notice up ahead, and I whisper in his ear, I said, now let me handle the brakes here because I see that there's some loose gravel coming up, and I want to be able to slow down gradually. And that little whippersnapper, he went, boom, he put on the brakes. And we slid for about 10 or 12 yards, and all the skin on this side of my leg disappeared. That's called suffering to me. And it was somebody else that did it. And it hurt. And I wanted to beat him up. But I was too hurt to beat him up. It didn't feel good. And I was walking around, I had bandages. I was like, oh, my skin's gone off my leg and up to my bottom. It's like, golly. Somebody does it to you. I had to learn how to forgive my cousin. I'm going to learn to forgive. I didn't even know Jesus yet. I just wanted to kill him. Have you ever had a moment like that? You do something crazy? You know? Here's the thing about this. Next slide. You decide what you will do when suffering is deeply personal. When the pressure is on, you let it push you away from God, or you can use it to push you to God. This is a big deal. It's an individual choice. When you face suffering in some way, it is your decision that's going to determine the next season of your life. And there may be some folks that have like buried some things because of personal situations that have happened. Is that right? You say, I don't want to go past this. I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive so-and-so, that kind of a thing. And these areas can happen in our life. But we make the decision. For the follower of Jesus, there is a great comfort to you when you turn to God for help. No matter what you face that comes into your life, life to cause you suffering, Jesus will give you more of himself. In fact, we have a verse here, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Look at this with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Okay, that's the first. Yay, God of all comfort. Let's look up there and focus on this for a minute. Watch this. Who comforts us in a little bit of our affliction. In some of our affliction on occasion, who comforts us in what? All our affliction. So that we may be able to Have you ever had anything bad to happen to you and God comforts you? And then you see it happening to somebody else and you realize God can help this person the way he helped me. So they can be comforted with the comfort that I've received. And this is I'm going to tell you, this is a most amazing thing. The very deepest pain that you experience in your life, it is God's intention that that become a fountain of his grace and resource up out of your life. That's what he wants to do with it. That no matter what happened, because there's going to be somebody else who goes into a dark season of their soul, and you will end up, by God's mercies, in proximity to that person. And you can end up saying what God did for you in a similar circumstance. And they can actually be lifted out of great depression and great harm and hurt because of the comfort that begins to flow out of you to them. Is anybody saying amen in their heart? Are you happy for that when that happens to you? Somebody comes along and begins to share that burden and to begin to help you, begin to find the way through it. Now watch this. With the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted. Look at verse 5. Usually I end with the first verse 4. I don't really consider verse 5. Look at this. For as we share abundantly in what? Who wants to do that? If we form a line outside, there's nobody going to get in that line. It's go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. Adios, amigos. But when it says this is we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in what? In comfort too. Jeepers. Hey, can I just make a big promise to you? I'm going to use it on the authority of the Bible. I promise you that you're going to suffer. So you better know about it, and you better know that the Lord's going to be with you. How many feel like you've already had enough? You would like to have a break. Me too, you know. Well, you're promised it. In Acts 14:22, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, you must enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want to throw something at you here, because this next verse, I've always asked why. Why are there tribulations? Why? This bugs me. You know, I came to the Lord, and I thought it was going to be easy, and it wasn't easy all the time. And this next verse is taken from the parable of the sower. And it's the second. See, the first seed was thrown on the hard soil, and it bounced off. And the bird of the air came and took it immediately. That's symbolic of people with hard hearts, that they hear the gospel and they go, I know Jesus died for me, but he can go to hell. That's called bing, bing, bing. Throw the seed, bing, bounces off. Are you there? But then there's another level, and this is the other level. The seed is sown, and the person receives it with joy, with joy, with joy. And they all happy, happy to begin with. Yay! I love Jesus. He loves me. Yay! And then trial comes. Forget you, baloney head. I'll never serve you. Ooh, it's going to be too hard. I never called God baloney head. That's kind of fun. Forget it. Up here's with a rubber hose. You know, up here, I don't want to be a part of you anymore because it's too hard. And the Bible says they receive it with joy, but then here's the deal. It says they don't have any root in themselves. There are people that walk away from God when the heat is on. The heat is on, and they walk away. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to go back to whatever comforts me. I'm leaving Jesus. I don't want this bunch of crap. Crap is chronic repetitive attitude prison. Chronic repetitive attitude prison. Crap, right? I don't want this. And so It says they don't have any root. They don't. They endure for a little while. And then this is the point. Here's the point. When tribulation and persecution arises, why? 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 Wait a minute. Just because I received Jesus in my life, trouble's going to come my way? Let me think about that. I was told that it was all good. Are you there? Does this answer a question for what you see a lot of people? They're going along and they talk the Christian talk, but then they just live a completely different thing. They just live something else. Like, I know those words, but I'm not living that because, but they didn't. Look, here's the thing. You can lay hold under that pressure. You can come to the Lord. I have cried out to the Lord under great pressure. I have cried out to the Lord under duress. I have cried out to the Lord in times of great stress. I feel like Peter, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where am I going to go? Have you come to that place in your life where there's no option? See, I've walked with the Lord so long that nothing else has any appeal. You can't offer me something that I would choose above Him. You can't do it. I've known the Lord over 43 years. I've been through all my inward sins and confession of sins and learning what I was in front of Him, and I have found out that I really cannot live this life without Him loving me so deeply, so thoroughly, and I depend on that love and I walk in that love because that's not something that comes out of me without receiving it from Him, and I need that so much, pretty much daily. Some days I'll have a real nice day where I can glide the next day, but mostly I'm pretty much like, open your mouth and I will fill it, little bird that needs the heart, my heart warmed in His presence. And I need to remind and renew the spirit of my mind with the Word of God. Because just when I feel like I'm smooth sailing, some bumpy waters come my way. Aren't you glad for people who know the Lord like that? Who walk that way? It's funny, because even if I'm teetering around and I get with my wife, it's like things can, I'll share something with her and I get calmed down. How many of you just go, wow, life's hit me, man, right now. I just need to bring it. His Bible says, it says, walk in the light as He is in the light. And you'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ will wash away your sins. Sometimes it's just hell is trying to put something on you, like just anxiousness, just to feel anxious, and you don't even know why. Have anybody ever had that? You start all feeling kind of funky. You don't even know why. There's two times to praise the Lord, when you feel like it and when you don't. And sometimes you just need to begin to step into that. Begin to praise Him. Lift up His voice, you know, your voice to Him. Bless Him. Do the things you know you need to do that get you where you need to be. But I do have some good news. Let's look at the next verse. We are promised an end to suffering. Go ahead and high-five somebody next to you. Thank God. Hell, God. Hallelujah. I love this verse with all my heart. This is my kind of verse in the Bible. Yay, Revelation 21:4. You're my baby. Read it and rejoice. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Even when somebody has passed away and they're in the place we would prefer to be, we do not grieve as those who have no hope, because we know where they are and they're in a pain-free environment. with the most blissful, deep, powerful love you can ever imagine, and nobody can explain the depths, the unfathomable depths of God's love, who will take all eternity to reveal more and more dimensions of his grace-filled kindness to us. I can't imagine any other life than serving the Lord Jesus 100%. I don't want to mess that up. How about you? If you don't know how wonderful he is, then you need to come down here at the end of the service and we'll pray. I remember good old Brian came down here. He stood right here. He lifted his hands, and the power of God's love came upon him. And he began to rock. He's like, whoa. And he began to be filled. And he knew about God in his mind, but he had never experienced God at the dimension of filling his being with love. He never knew that. And now he did. And now the love of God absorbed. And he wanted to walk in it when he went back to his hotel room, he'd sit on the bed and just kind of like relive it, know it, feel it. And I told him, there ain't no high like the Most High. That the deepest craving of your heart is only met, and never any other way, except through the love of the Father that has been expressed through his Son and made alive in you by the Holy Spirit. There's no other thing that fills your heart like that. And this is what makes God so wonderful and so good. And I've read articles recently. I was trying to pull one up because there was some kind of a judge that was, it's an interesting story, but out in Oregon or somewhere, and people were taking him to court on the basis of some kind of a felony thing with a gun, and he walked for 3 years being suspended from the role of being a judge to walk in this thing, and he was a believer. And this is a suffering thing where people are coming against him in the court of law trying to unseat him. And they told him, this will all go away if you just... Because it had to do with not wanting to marry people who were not of... You know what I'm saying? They were to marry some folks that were not male and female. They had to do... If this will all go away if you agree with us... And then here's what he said. He said, through the fire of that trial, I came to know the depth of the comfort and the grace and the kindness of Jesus Christ. That through those 3 years, he began to interact with the Lord in the midst of this affliction, and more comfort filled his heart. And that's happening over and over where these battles go out in public. That people will stand there and something about God coming with them, and it's just like Jesus showing up as the fourth man in the fire. It's just like that. No matter what degree of persecution or tribulation for his word's sake, there comes this comfort via the Holy Spirit coming into their life. And somehow you walk through something that you could never imagine walking through it. But you do, because the Lord is there with you. Let's look on the back of your paper there. I was calling this Guidelines on Suffering. Let's read this aloud and together. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for the judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now let's camp on this last, just read it real good. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Isn't that something? That's like, that goes along with that, endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ. That goes along with this. God says, I want you to be with me and entrust your soul to me as we walk through this together. And I'm going to do something for you and in you. Number three, suffering is communal. It's universal, it's personal, and it's communal. We go through it as a community of believers. Just yesterday, a man took a gun into a Jewish synagogue up in Squirrel Hill. I think he killed 11 people. Everybody's heart goes out. You start praying, God, help us, help the people, those families. Oh, dear God. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Galatians also says, bear one another's burdens, so also fulfill the law of Christ. And lastly, number four, suffering is beneficial. Suffering is beneficial. So, well, I hope you're going to get there. Amen? Romans 5, 2 through 5 talks about it. Now, this verse points to the character development. Don't you feel like if you go through something really tough and you make it through, you've developed some qualities? How many of you have gone through some kind of a sporting thing where you grow in the skill and the endurance of that sport, and you begin to develop muscles hurt that you didn't know you had? You stretch in things, you know, you do things, right? In a spiritual sense, this is not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Just go ahead and tell the person to you, I'm going to be watching and see if you rejoice in your sufferings. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be seeing you. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance. And endurance produces character. And when people have character, what fills the room? Hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Next verse, 1 Peter. This is one of my favorite verses. Let's read this one together, everybody. And after you have suffered a little while, first of all, say, praise God, it's a little while. In the moment, it doesn't feel like a little while, does it? When you're hurting, it feels like a long, you know, when is this going to be over? But the Bible says you're going to suffer a little while. But after that, well, go ahead. The God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ. Four things He's going to do. After you've suffered a little while, He's going to do four things. He's going to restore. He's going to confirm. He's going to strengthen. He's going to establish you. The message is not about those four things, but let me tell you, they're all different and they're all good. And they make you something you weren't before. And you become somebody, you become a resource to God that you never could have been had you not gone through what you went through. I'm going to jump down here to, do I have 55 Isaiah up there? I don't know if I have that on. Is it good? Now, let's all take a peek at Jesus just for a moment. This is on the back of your paper. I wanted to make sure you had this. But I mentioned that suffering is beneficial. And the reason that we want to look at this for a moment is because Jesus is our example. Everybody say, Jesus is my example. And the moment you decide to follow Jesus and to be a part of him, this something happens. First of all, he adopts you into his family, and he puts his spirit in you, and that spirit cries, Abba, Father, and you become his child. And then he says, I have done this for you, and I have suffered in your behalf. And Isaiah 53 is the picture of Jesus at the cross. Now look at this. The reason we want to look at this verse is because there's nothing you will ever go through that the Lord doesn't have a heart for you in it. That the Lord has a deep heart for you no matter what pain you're in. There's no pain that you can feel that he can't have empathy with you. There's no hurt so deep that God can't come and partner in the midst of it. No matter how destroyed you feel, he can come and actually relate to you. Most of us haven't suffered physically unto death, but Jesus has. He was despised. Have you ever felt despised? Jesus can relate to your feeling despised. Have you ever felt rejected? Jesus can relate to the deep feelings of your heart where you have felt rejected. A man of sorrows. Have you ever felt like you hit with wave after wave after wave of bad news like Job in the Bible? And you're just so fed up. Jesus can touch your life because he's the man of sorrows. And he knows the depth of the tears and will help you cry them out and let your heart come back into wholeness again because he knows the depth of hurt of every human heart. Praise his name. He's acquainted with grief. The average person has griefs up to their the brim, and they never let them go. They don't find a safe place, even let God come in. They're afraid that if I break down in front of somebody, I'm going to be ashamed because I don't feel like I can handle life. And God says, I am acquainted with your grief, and I can enter into a level in your life and touch you in a place where nobody else could dare to come and enter in at that level of your pain. I am there. I am the Lord. I was despised. I was rejected. I'm a man of sorrows, and I'm acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. I don't know how anybody goes through any kind of suffering without knowing Jesus in the midst of it. Because he enters at places in our life. There are things that you have just shut the door to and said, I'm just going to go on from here and manage best I can. And the Lord comes into your life. He says, I want to love you, and you're acting out from that past situation. You're still not healed from that. I want to go back and love you in the midst of that and bring my compassion to your heart and open up the area of your soul that got damaged and bring wholeness to you. I will bring you out of that. And I will take away the years of pain. I will take away the years, the months, the times when you sat lonely and cried yourself to sleep and just figured it would never be better. And Jesus says, no, that's not who you're walking with. I don't leave that stuff that way. I enter into your life and I heal you and I bring you to wholeness. You will all be better in heaven, but I want to make heaven come into your life now. I want your life better now. That's how he does it. I'm so glad because I would be ruined. All the things that happened to me, I would have probably committed suicide. I was that guy that nobody liked. I hated myself. I despised myself. But Jesus says, I can relate, hon. Come here, boy. Pour your heart out to me. You got hurt really bad, and nobody said they were sorry. But I want you to know that I'm sorry, because when they were hurting you, it was hurting me, because I love you and I cherish you, and you're mine, and you've given yourself to me, and you just didn't give me your good parts. You gave me all your bad parts, and I'm going to put you back together again. And that's the promise. And then he has the audacity to say, next verse, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy, are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. Let the breath of that word come upon your heart right now. Lord says, as bad as it ever get, you're never going to know how awesome it's going to be. The Lord is with you and He's for you in ways that you have never tasted. Let's lift our heads to Him. Would you, if you wouldn't mind, stand with me and just lift your head to the Lord? Would you lift your head to the Lord? Like the Lord would come to you and just put His hand under your chin and just lift your chin and look at you in the eyes. Let the Lord just lift your chin and look at you right now, down into the midst of your heart. Would you lift your head to Him? Just lift your head to Him. Lift your head to Jesus. Stand before the Lord and lift your head. Lift your head to Him. Spirit of the Lord, come. Come with your affirming love. Come with your healing love. Come with the grace that solves everything. Come and fill each heart and mind with the depth of your touch. With it, envelop, I pray, envelop hearts right now. There's an assurance coming to your heart that you haven't felt in a long time. And the Lord is saying, I want you to know you're safe. You haven't felt it, but you are. And I'm giving you a portion of my spirit to cause you to feel satisfied that I'm with you. I'm with you. The Lord's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. You will be safe. I don't know who I'm prophesying to, but I know that there's somebody you felt like, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? The Lord's saying, you belong to me. You fit in with me. You're mine. I chose you. I picked you out of the group. You're mine. Let's be together. Let's grow together. Let's fellowship together. Let's praise the Lord right now. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Just tell the Lord, say, I'm sorry for wandering away. Tell Him that. I'm sorry for wandering away. I'm sorry about that. I want you and I need you and I want to be close to you. It's like a little, a play helmet, like a little plastic play helmet, and it's called doubt, and it's just breaking off your head. The Lord says, I'm breaking away what you have doubted. This right now I'm speaking to you, and you're not going to be doubting me the way you did, because I'm just taking that play helmet off of your head right now. I'm causing you to know and hear in your spirit, from my heart to your heart, that how valuable in your mind. Just praise Him again. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lift your heart and praise. Just praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're good. You're good. You're good. You're so good. Sometimes something will be spoken into your heart, and it's very valuable to you in that moment. It's very valuable. I want to encourage you to not let the devil steal it. Because the enemy will come in immediately and try to take something so precious. He wants you to continue believing that God did bad things to you. And that's a lie. God's not the one that did it. Is that right? And if he's uncovered a deep work that he wants to impart something into your heart, do not just hallow that place. Make that place special before God. Say, I'm going to keep this, what you've spoken to my heart. I'm not going to let anything take this away from you. And I feel really strong, really strong. Would everybody just say this? I don't know who it's for, but just say, I belong. I belong. The Lord wants you to know you belong to Him. He says, I say it, I belong to you, Lord. I belong to you. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we dismiss, I want to invite you, if there's some area of your life where you're saying, you know what, I need to do a little bit further business. If you haven't really just emptied everything out and you want to talk to the Lord, we're down here at the altar, and that's why we're here. We're here to come into agreement in prayer. Would you go ahead and just be dismissed? It's so precious in here, isn't it? Anybody feel it? God's good. So go ahead and hug a couple, two or three people, even if you don't like them. Go ahead and do it. Let them know that you're more like Jesus than your old self. Let's go ahead. You're dismissed. Love on each other.